The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Where, like I said before, there's confusion about things that are just simple. I don't understand, but it's because there is an author of confusion. It's not Jesus. It says he's not the author of confusion. But Satan, the father of lies, will create confusion over the simplest things. And so there is right now a famine in the land of hearing the words of the Lord. And that Hebraic word hearing, again, they combined a lot of stuff. And it's not just the act of hearing. When they define that, it says, and then doing. There, and it says obey. It's not just hearing it like, oh, I heard this scripture. It's what Jim Mister was saying. Look, I'm reading that scripture, I'm meditating on it, and then I'm acting it out. And that's all wrapped up in the hearing. And so, and we see the response to that in the world right now. People aren't hearing God's word because they're not doing it, right? That's why you're seeing the fear. You're seeing the apprehension, the lack of peace in this world right now, right? And yet, as the church, we follow the Prince of Peace. One of the fruit of the Spirit as we walk out his leading is peace, right? And so we know that that's the world that we're living in. And we are in this world. We're not of this world, but we are in the world, right? We have to function in the world, and we're coming against these things. And he told us in the word we were going to, but he prepares us for it. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 2 through 5. I'm going to read in the New King James first. He's talking to Timothy. He tells him, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Yeah, we got to be patient with people. And teaching. Listen to what it says. For the time will come. When they, who's they? People, will not endure sound doctrine. And here's the key. It says, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But then it says, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. I think Jim Mister were talking about that. Do the work of an evangelist. What does that mean? Preach Jesus. And what did the one of the fathers of the word, he said, preach Jesus, and sometimes you even have to speak. You have to use words. But we preach Jesus with our life, right? We evangelize with our life, right? And it says, fulfill your ministry. Well, who has a ministry? Everybody. Everybody. But it says, you know, according to their own desires. According to their own desires. Those are feelings, people. And it's okay to have feelings. I'm not sitting here telling you, you're not going to have feelings. You're going to have feelings. What I want to do is encourage you to recognize the feeling, but then obey and follow the Spirit. Amen? You're going to have the feelings. Don't feel bad that you have the feelings. Don't feel guilty that you're feeling mad, sad, whatever it is. Don't feel bad that you're having the feeling, but recognize it and recognize there's an enemy that's trying to move you with those feelings. He's trying to move you. In church, we have to be immovable by what's happening in the world because the world's about to try to move people with fables, and even later I'll talk about with doctrines of demons. There are doctrines of demons going on right now. Whew, yeah. And there's consequences of those doctrines, and we're seeing them. You're seeing them in our schools. You're seeing them in everywhere. I mean, I just shake my head. I'm like, man, these folks are deceived, and that's what they are. Yeah. Deceived. They don't know the truth. They are not free. They're bound up to their feelings. And then they're calling it my truth. Nothing about the truth there. In the Passion, it says, same scriptures, 2 Timothy 4, proclaim the word of God and stand upon it no matter what. rise to the occasion and preach when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. That means my feelings don't have anything to do with it. Preach in the full expression, I love this, of the Holy Spirit. With wisdom and patience as you instruct and teach the people. You know, some of the most difficult people to reach are religious people. I'm serious. They'll remember, they seek me out so that they can teach me this truth. Right? Which I actually enjoy. Okay, let's look at it. Let's look at what it says. And oftentimes these people have a lot of knowledge. They bring a lot of scripture to it. There's a lot of knowledge here. But we know knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. What is love? Fruit of the Spirit. Right? See, the thing is, I can come down on you and say, here's the law. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. But the scripture tells us the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. You see, it says that God gave us the law to show us that we couldn't follow it. That's why he gave us Jesus, who completed the law and then said, follow me. I'll give you my Spirit to enable you to follow me. And you'll know you're following me because you'll have peace. And it'll surpass understanding. It'll guard my heart. Why? Because that soul man that is my heart needs guarding. My soul man, my heart is feeling things. There's feelings. And those feelings hurt. They burn, by the way. I'll get to that scripture in a minute. They burn. And that hot iron is trying to get you to move. It's trying to desensitize you. I'm about to get that scripture. But as we are hearers of the word and are then doers of the word, we are tuning in to the Holy Spirit's leading so that in the feelings I'm experiencing, I go to the Spirit and say, what do I do, God? Because now that's an act of obedience. Because what did we talk about? Spiritual maturity last week. Spiritual maturity is directly correlated to our faith and our obedience. Who we believe, are we believing what he's saying? Are we believing the truth? And now are we trying to walk it out? And again, I'm not sitting here saying you got to be perfect. Praise God we don't. But I have a Holy Spirit that tells me when I'm outside of where I'm supposed to be. And he gently says, come over here, Monty. This isn't how you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be here. And then what does that do? It trains my soul to crucify my flesh. Let's read. I'm only on verse 3 in the Passion. It says, for the time is coming when they will no longer listen and respond. Listen to this. To the healing words of truth. See, God's word, Jesus heals. Praise God. Because they will become selfish and proud. And isn't that what it is? It's pride. I feel this way, and so I want to vindicate my feelings because I'm absorbed in myself. Right? I'm feeling things, and I don't like this feeling, and I'm concentrating on myself, and I'm trying to heal myself because I don't like how I feel. You ain't ever going to heal yourself. But Jesus heals. His word is healing. You will prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. That's in 1 John. It's 1 John, I don't know. It's like the first of chapter 1, 2, or 3. Look at it. You'll find it. You'll find it. I know it's in there. But my soul has to prosper. How does it prosper? By learning and then applying the truth of God's word. You see? And we need that. We need that. You know, Jesus said, I came to give life and life more abundant. But the thief is trying to steal that abundant life. You see, I was reading something. I saw it. And actually, Jeannie, you put it on the Facebook. The Facebook thing. About the thief on the cross, right? Thief on the cross. I would say he did not lead an abundant life. He's being crucified for being a thief. He deserved it. The one who basically proclaimed Jesus as king, he said, man, I deserve to be here. That's what he told the other thief. We deserve to be here. He doesn't deserve to be here. But what did he do? The two things he did. He confessed with his mouth and he believed in his heart. And what did Jesus do? You're saved. See? And so, yes, I want to preach Jesus for salvation. Amen. You've got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart he rose from the dead. You will be saved. Praise God. But now, if you want to live an abundant life right now and be effective in fulfilling your ministry, now we've got to do some soul training. Now my soul has to line up with what the Spirit's leading me to do. And then guess what? The great expectations we have in him start coming to fruition. That fruit starts happening because I'm following him. Amen? That's what I want for everyone in this coming year. I am resolute. Are we making a resolution? I am resolute that God's word is true. And that we're going to be doers of it. We're going to read Romans 12, 12. 12 and 12 is 24, just so you know. I had enough fingers and toes to get me close. So 2024, we're going to read that scripture. Praise God. And we're going to apply it in our life. And when I find myself not applying it, I'm going to admit it, then I'm going to quit it, and then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to forget it. Because Satan's not going to hold me back from my past mistakes. Jesus is going to carry me forward into the promised land he has for each of us. Amen? Okay, let's go to the next one. Oh, these people will seek out teachers with soothing words that will line up with their feelings, their desires, saying just what they want to hear. And understand something, guys. You know, I used to make a misstatement. I was wrong in my thinking because I was trying to be nice. I used to say, you know, God, I don't care where you go to church. I care that you know Jesus. I used to say that. That was wrong. I'll be honest. I do care that you know Jesus. But I care where you go to church, too. Because there are churches that are not preaching the truth. I'm just going to be honest with you. Well, that's your opinion. No, that's what God said. I mean, if they don't preach what God says, I'm not going to agree with them. I can love them. I can pray for them, but I'm not going to agree with the thems. Who are you talking about, Monty? I don't have to tell you. If they're speaking against God's word, they're the thems. There you go. Okay, I'm not calling out anybody. I'm calling out myself, too. If I don't preach what God says, I'm a them. I don't want to be a them. I want to be with him. Amen? I mean, that keeps me grounded. It says, they will close their ears to the truth and believe nothing but fables and myths, lies. And then so it says, be alert to all these things and overcome every form of evil. Carry in your heart the passion of your calling as a church planter and evangelist and fulfill your ministry calling. I don't know what I did. See, I'm encouraged. When I feel the pressure against me, I push back. I really do. But I want to push back in his strength. I feel the pressure coming against the church. Well, we're going to push back in his strength. We're going to be defiant in his name. We're going to defy the lies of the enemy because we're not fighting people. It's easy to turn our focus on people. Well, that one is saying this, and that's against the word of God. Well, that's true. What that person is saying is against the word of God, but it's a doctrine of a demon, and I'm against the demonic. Does that make sense? Because I know at one point I was deceived too. I didn't know the truth until the truth set me free. Well, these people that are speaking lies need the truth to set them free. I'm not going to be agreeable, but I'm going to be kind. But then I'm only going to do what God tells me to do. My compassion will not lead me. That's still a feeling. I will obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that knows how to unwind things. Amen? He's the only one. So we do what he says. In Isaiah 55:11, everybody knows this one, but we're going to read it. So shall my word, this is God's word, be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That's why we're so big on the word. The word is accomplishing things in your life. We listened to Pastor Burt preach on framing your world on God's word. His word is accomplishing things. It's accomplishing things in your life right now. You are hearing God's word. But in hearing, it is stoking the Holy Spirit and the fire inside of you then, which affects your soul. It affects how you feel. But it'll lead you then to that obedience. Because what's your soul? Your mind, what you're thinking about. Your will, those are your choices. What am I going to do? But then it affects your emotions. Feelings want to move you emotionally, right? Wants you to react. The Spirit wants you to obey. There's a difference, a big difference. You're reacting to the flesh, and the flesh is going to be fleshy. It's going to jump up. It's going to try to move you. It's going to poke with a fiery iron, by the way. But we know about God's word. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Let's read in the Passion. For we have the living word of God, praise God, which is full of energy. And look what it says. It's like a two-mouthed sword. That's what they're always talking about. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and the secret motives of our heart. Am I reacting to something? Or am I obeying someone? Okay. I'll get to where I've been talking about now. You don't have this. Brenda goes, oh, I even texted you, Monty. You did. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. And I'm in the New King James. I'm sorry. I'm in the New King James. We're in the last days, right? I mean, I can show you theologically. I can show you eschatologically. That's a word. I can't spell it, Mo, but I think I said it right. We are in the last days. There's no doubt. But not only in the last days, we're in the last part of the last days, right? And now, 1 Timothy 4, look how good she is. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, listen to this, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That word conscience in the Greek is your soul. That's what it means. And it's being seared as with the hot iron. Have you ever burnt yourself real good on your fingers? Yeah, we've all done that. It desensitizes you, doesn't it? Like when it starts to, I can't feel from it. I've been burned. I don't feel good. I don't have sensitivity there. You see, the flesh is trying to desensitize the soul to the Spirit's leading. And this is for Christians. I'm talking about Christians. See, because we have the Holy Spirit inside of our spirit, we're the ones that can hear the Spirit of God. But we hear at the meeting of the spirit and the soul, which is a fine line. But that's where the word comes in there and makes the connection so we can hear him clearly and then obey, right? But Satan's trying to come in there with the flesh, and he brings that hot iron to desensitize your feeler between. And you know, I can tell when people are desensitized because they don't want to get in the word, they don't want to hear the word. They don't have any part of it. Because they're being desensitized by outside forces to lead them to death. Because a thief is trying to steal so that he can kill and then destroy. But see, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. And it's by his Spirit that we live an abundant life. Right? That's what gives us encouragement. We can walk in courage regardless of what's going on in the world. That's when it says, greater is he that is in me. He is in you. The Holy Spirit of God is in you, teaching you. He's the teacher, counseling you. How do I navigate this situation? Man. Giving us understanding of God's word so that we can apply it in our life. Because everyone has to apply it in a way that we're all struggling with things. And so the Holy Spirit comes and helps you apply God's word to get you out of that struggle. Right? It's true. Because everybody's struggling with something. And some of the struggles are intense right now. Very intense. It's going to become more intense. Why? Because we're at the end of the end. We are. It's going to become more intense, guys. And again, is the enemy going to use politics and governments? Absolutely. But who's ahead of all that? The king. The king's ahead of all that. Trust me. He puts leaders in, he takes them out. And you say, well, then God, why would you put in X, Y, Z? He has a plan. His ways are higher than my ways. You know, pain's a great motivator, people. I know that from experience. And I guarantee you, as the pressure intensifies on this world, a lot of people are going to start coming to Jesus. They want to be set free. They're going to want peace. They're going to want what you have. They're going to see you walking it out. They're going to say, how can you be so peaceful? How can you have so much joy? Well, let me introduce you to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me introduce you to the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He gets to reside in you now. Amen. Man, isn't that good? Now we'll go to Pastor Burt's scripture, Hebrews 11:3. It says, by faith. You know it says without faith can't please God? It also says in the scriptures that anything that doesn't come from faith is sin. You know, we all always want to make our list of sins. Here's the bad sins. Here's the not so bad sins. And yet, what the word says is anything that doesn't come from faith is sin. So guess what? We're all in trouble at different times. But we're not condemned. We're set free from that. And then we're given the Spirit of God to help us operate in faith. That's the good news. That's why it says the gospel is good news. This is good news. I'm not here to tell you about all your sin. You already know that. I ain't got to tell you about that. I'm going to tell you the way out of it. And it's by Jesus. He is the way. And it's by his truth that gives you the life. Yeah. Let me read that in the Passion. Faith empowers us. I like that. I like walking in power. Don't you? I like it when I like it when the chainsaw's running. We got some power now, right? Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. That's why we believe, and therefore we speak. We believe, and therefore we speak. That's why it was important that thief believed in his heart, but then he also spoke it with his mouth. That's why he was saved. See? He was fulfilling the book of Romans before it was even written. Because God never goes back on his word. Ever. He accomplishes his word. If he'll do it for that thief on the cross, do you think he'll do it for you? He will. He will. It's not even a big deal for him. It isn't. Man, I'm telling you. And yet, it's in Proverbs, it's in 14:12, it says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end, it leads in death. You see, so many people think that they're doing the right thing because they feel a certain way. I feel this way. And so today I'll use this bathroom because I feel this way. That's confusion. God is not the author of confusion. He's not. You see, the feelings that people, and I'm not saying they're not having feelings, but it's feelings based on doctrines of demons, just so you know. It's feelings by deception, trying to sear them so that they can't hear the calling and the drawing of the Holy Spirit that draws men unto himself. Amen? But see, I trust by God's word that he is sending out his army, his saints, to speak the truth in love, right? And some people are going to be a hearer. They're going to hear the truth. It's going to set them free. They're going to hear the truth. They're going to save Christ. They're going to accept Christ for salvation. They're going to receive the Holy Spirit of God inside of them. And then they're going to be a part of advancing the kingdom too. Don't you want that for your family? Don't you want that for your friends? Don't you want that for the person that irritates you, for the Ralphie Joe? You do. You do. You know, deep down you do. I mean, sometimes you don't think you do. But deep down, you really do, right? You really do. Because he won't be Ralphie Joe once he accepts God. He won't be. If you want him to change, he needs Jesus. You really want him to change? He needs Jesus. Just like I needed Jesus. Amen? And I need him every day. Every day. But here's the beauty. I need him every day. I have him every day. That's power, people. That's power. You see, we don't have to be dependent on a government. We don't have to be dependent on an election or machines that count votes. I'm not dependent on any of this. I'm dependent on the King of Kings. I'm dependent on his truth that he has spoken that is going to accomplish things in this world. And it changes people's lives. It changes people. It changes them. But it comes down to being a doer, meaning I heard and I responded to what I was hearing, right? And that's why I go back to, please, if you ever hear that and start feeling guilty or condemned, let me introduce you to the grace and the mercy that we have in Christ. Don't let Satan filter that word of truth that comes with freedom. That's grace, unmerited favor. We have favor with God. We have peace with God. I don't have to be perfect. He already did it for me. He had to be perfect. Let me be honest. He had to be perfect. He had to be the perfect sacrifice. He had to be. It's said in the word, the wages of sin is death. He had to die. He had to. For me to be saved. But then, he rose. The veil was torn. He sent his spirit to be inside of his church, which empowered us to speak the good news. Amen? And there's coming a day. There's coming a day where he's going to come back. It's coming soon. And he's going to come back. And he's going to get all that was his. I was seeing something, and I think it was Miss Ann that had shared it. You know, the angel of death. But ooh, no. In the Old Testament where they had to put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, right? Yep. Right? He didn't go into the house and say, did you fulfill the law? Did you fulfill the law? Did you fulfill the law? And if they didn't, you know, then he killed the ones in the house? No. He looked for the blood. He looked for the blood. When Jesus comes back, he's looking for the blood. He's looking for you that have been covered with his blood. Because when you accept him as Savior, his blood covered you. Covered your sins, every bit of them. The ones I committed before I was saved, and the ones I commit when I don't walk in faith. Amen? That is something to be excited about. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseratone.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseratone. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseratone.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my to shore. Sure.